The princess is missing. The heir to the throne in exile across the sea. And the elderly king is in thrall to a mystic from Mount Athos. What is England to do?
Only one man can bring back the missing princess. They've got a very particular set of skills.
Yeah, oh, medieval Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, yes. Okay, I was wondering.
Son of Nee.
Yeah, he worked for the Inquisition, where he acquired a particular set of skills, namely detecting heresy.
Yeah,
that's right.
We need a ragtag team of vagabonds. Mm-hmm.
Skills which make me a nightmare for Catholics like thee.
That's right. England, more than just England, is now officially missing the princess, and it appears as though some scheming viziers at the palace have tried to release a parchment suggesting that she is with her own heirs.
Welcome to an episode of Midden's Advent, trash future podcast from the Middle Ages.
However, some sleuths from the monastery have identified elements of the illuminated manuscript that appear to have been pieced together from
inconsistent marginalia.
Other illuminated manuscripts, and have said, forsooth, the princess is still locked in the tower, essentially.
Uh-huh.
I think my favorite part about this, as a thing that was edited, is how I'm like, this is the one that you could get where those children looked the least like sharks, apparently. Like those, I'm sorry, but they look like little lampreys or something. It's all, look, they're royal. You don't have to feel bad. You can always make fun of them. Okay.
Look, but medieval historian and frequent guest of the podcast, Eleanor Yanaga, What advice would you give to a principality whose king is dying and has taken on a strange diet of herbs and appears to be missing all of its issue? Like, is this a broken Crusader Kings 3 run at this point?
It kind of seems that way. I would say the major thing that you actually have to do right now is get your line of succession in order. And what we need to do is see William. You should be like, we should be seeing William.
Show us
constantly.
The alarmingly bald prince.
Yes. Bring him unto me.
Banging on the gates of Buckingham Palace. Show us the bald man.
Get this motherfucker to open, I don't know, a shopping center. Like, I don't know, like get him to shake the hand of a Paralympian or something like that. But he should be in public, I suppose, is the thing. So it doesn't bode well that he wasn't at this royal funeral the other week. Also, why the fuck do I know this? God, I hate my life.
Would you say that the Windsors have maybe like lost the mandate of heaven at this point?
I would indeed. You know, I am just saying right now, the divine right is looking shaky. You know, because if God loved you that much, then you wouldn't fumble a baddie.
I'm just imagining like a kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm type scenario where in a desperate PR attempt from the royal family, William gets sent to shake the hand of an armless Paralympian. He's just like finger to earpiece, like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Like
kissing him on the forehead awkwardly.
I think that the real question that now the British state has to answer, given that we've given up all of the stuff,
government stuff,
all the actual stuff, the real question we have to answer is, are we going to go get the replacement royals from the Netherlands or Germany?
Interesting.
Yeah, where they've been growing them in a vat.
That's always been the like sort of last resort for the royal families. We just import some. So, I mean, I think that the Nordics have some kicking around. Mm-hmm. I don't keep track of these things. I think the real wild card is Thailand. We import some Thai royals.
Shit's really going to pop off.
It's going to be great.
Well, the Thai king, I mean, he's like a...
We love him.
He wears streetwear, doesn't he?
Yeah. So like white vest tops, you know?
Yeah, well, he does donuts and McLarens.
Why don't we finish the Islamization of the UK and bring in the Saudis?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
We're cooking now. We're cooking. Qataris. All right.
We've got like a lot. Like, you know, think
Moroccan
outside the box.
Royals, maybe?
Why not?
I think Hussein's first idea, best idea. Look, MBS has done so many great things with the line, right? We could be like, hey, MBS.
What if you had a line from the line to Wolverhampton?
What if Vision 2030? What if MBS brings Vision 2030 to Britain? Finally, women will be allowed to drive.
Yeah.
We've built the line up near the border of Scotland. Hadrian's Wall is back. And it's got shopping, it's got high-end dining, it's
beautiful.
Got hotels.
Yeah. Mm. All the things you want.
Look. Everyone appears to be. It's very funny to me to be have the easiest job in the world.
Yeah,
right.
Royal PR consultant.
Royal PR consultant, and to be fucking up this badly.
Yeah, you put out a photo of like the kids or whatever, and you're like, "Hey, check it out. These are the people who are better than you because they've got magic blood." And then somehow, inexplicably, they all have terrible Photoshop editions that are so obvious that, like, every wire agency you send it to goes, no, we can't fucking print this shit. What are you doing?
I don't think it's, like, it's not the easiest job to do right now, only because, from what I understand, like, obviously William and Kate and that family are sort of being framed or, like, being primed to be, like, the normal face of the royal family. That was, like, always their thing.
Monarchism with a human face.
But they're not normal, but they've been trying for a very long time to at least, like, project to be that thing. They did a podcast, didn't they? Like, no, it was the other one.
No, like, Meghan and Harry pretended to do
But in order to sort of do that, you do sort of need to be pictured all the time. And so she can't really exit for, like, longer than maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we need to find out what happened with, the Brazilian butt lift.
I mean, the thing that always drives me about this, right, is that we are baseless speculation the country. We love to do it, and we love to do it about the royals. And I think there's this thing, right? Well, on the one hand, there is ostensibly...
We love to do it about WMD.
Yeah, exactly. with the royals, ostensibly, there is a human on the other side of it, but they think...
Or at least someone in a human suit.
Yeah, but they think they're better than me, and also they're lizards, so fuck them. I tend to view this because, like, people have looked at this doctored photo and gone completely insane on TikTok. And people who are, like, very into the royals and can therefore catalogue all of the outfits they've ever worn on, like, by date are going,
it's very,
like,
weird, like, stands.
They're kind of like the Lady Gaga stands, but just for the royals. They're very similar level of devotion.
What it reminds me of is QAnon, but like a very attenuated QAnon that's targeted at, like, one family of weird freaks. It's almost harmless.
Mm-hmm. It rounds to harmless.
Yeah, pretty much.
Any case, I'm really interested to see what this will do to the Constitution when, inevitably, all of the right people die or abdicate in the right order that England has to reckon with having its first openly pedophilic king in, like, 100 years.
It's going to be a hard job for the royal PR team. It's the safest place for Andrew. He'll be watched 24 hours a day. He can open a school, but he can't go in there.
It's a sort of, like, disclosure scheme thing. They just make you part of the royal family.
Instead
of having to change your name to Balthazar Speedboat, as Balthazar Speedboat Windsor.
Yeah, it works perfectly. I think that would be great. Just make all paedophiles members of the royal family. And they'll never be allowed near anyone who isn't at least 70 years old.
Consolidate your paedophiles into one easy to manage.
That would be so perfect. Like, the Britain just ruled over by, like, an upper class of paedophiles, which would be pretty close to what it is now.
I was about
but
to say.
Just, making it explicit. Mm-hmm. Just like all those guys who do the paedophile hunter videos, like, at the gates of the palace, like, crying because they don't know what to do. Like, I love me king, I hate a nonce.
Yes.
But it's no longer simple as.
Complicated as.
Complicated as. I'm engaged in cognitive dissonance.
Within me, there are two wolves.
I find myself having to acknowledge the complexities of the system which I inhabit.
I feel like they've all missed a trick, though, because they went with this whole, oh, we're going to go with the human face of royals, but they managed to completely miss the vibe check for the 21st century. It's like, no, we want to see some freaks, man. Like, it would actually be better if they were just like, no, I'm on some freak shit. Right. You know, and which is kind of what William is trying to do with, like, soft launching this new mistress or whatever. But, you know, we love a fucking weird sex story, us. You know, like,
get weirder. Get more celebrities.
Habsburg.
They fucked up, right? They
gave us full of water, one shriveled black testicle.
Well, they gave us the wrong Meghan, right? Like, Meghan Markle, she's fine. Should have gotten Meghan the Stallion instead. I think that really would have, like, juiced things up a bit.
All right. I want to move off of the of these into
the
our
Queen's
news.
So disappointed when she finds out she's not a horse.
your sort of grandson has married a stallion. Yeah, it just seems normal.
The Queen excited by the prospect of a grandson getting into a Mr. Hands type situation.
See, that would be more relatable than what they currently are.
Yeah.
You know, shout out Edomclaw.
Hi everybody.
That's all I have to say.
Hi everybody. It's TF. We've got a number of things for you today. fun startup, a couple of news items. However, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to noted medieval historian and previous many-time guest of this show and the host of the We're Not So Different podcast, Eleanor Yanaga, is that I recently, because I subscribe to a lot of newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
I subscribe to a lot of newsletters from companies like, for example, ARK Invest, which we've talked about before.
Sure.
And sometimes they print some mad shit, and I like to talk about it with my friends for work. So what they've done is they have written about a sort of an email newsletter, which I'll be reproducing all of here, which argues essentially that the chatbots and large language models and so on will be basically to humanity as the introduction of the plow was. So we're going to talk a little bit about history, GDP, and what these inventions actually meant at the time.
As a large language plow, I cannot plant millet out of season.
Beat your plowshares into pussies in your bios.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. However, that's a sentence you can
say. A couple of news items first. Number one, as we talked a little bit about the budget in high-level terms last week, but there's one detail line item that we did miss, which I thought was very fun.
Yeah, the tax on vapes. Barely spoke about it. Hugely important to us.
There's another detailed line item that we missed, which was that Canary Wharf is receiving £118 million to help build affordable housing.
Oh, that'll solve the north-south divide. Finally, the last bit of like redress needed.
Mm-hmm. And this is partly because Canary Wharf Holdings Company has been pushing the government for support ever since banks started realizing they don't need to have tens of thousands of square meters of office space in the center of prime real estate cities in order to just get people to do spreadsheets.
Well, it turns out that Canary Wharf is mostly a collection of offices and then places where you go to like eat lunch even though you're still working. Mm-hmm. In the middle of your office job. And maybe instead of that, it could have all of the stuff that the line's supposed to have, you know, high-end dining, fashion.
It is pretty much London's line, I would say. Mm. You know, it's kind of like, you could call it the sack. It's kind of like,
it's London's beautiful dangling sack.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's empty. It's got a lot of weird property that's kind of like already outdated somehow. You know, a lot of slug and lettuces.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, this is my main objection with Canary Wharf. I used to date a girl who lived in Canary Wharf, and like every time I went there, I was like, what are we gonna do? Everywhere out here is just like a pub where the pints are £8 for some reason and everyone's wearing a quarter zip.
It's kind of like a London version of the Harkonnen Homeworld.
Yeah. It really is.
No colours.
Frequent slave gladiator fights.
Triangular Colosseum.
Yeah, it's just like kind of soulless glass and steel, like whatever the equivalent of an all bar one is for slightly posher people. Mm-hmm. And then you stray two streets away and it's like the grimmest council estate you've ever seen in your life, but also where they have no access to like a normal shop. Like there's like a Waitrose or there's like the all bar one equivalent and that's it.
But you have to do your shopping at the all bar one, but that's all changing now because finally some money is going into Canary Wharf.
I've often looked around Canary Wharf and been like, this is such a like leveled down area and it needs someone to level it up.
I mean, I'm let down every time I go there. Granted, every time I go there, it's like ostensibly because I'm trying to shag someone. And then I'm like, why have I done this to myself? You know, it can't be worth it. It can't.
So they're finally going to for the Qatari consortium that owns Canary Wharf. Which we've talked about even with our sort of discussion on the privatization of bits of cities. They're going to change from being banks, which are now all closing and being turned into what I assume will be giant mausoleums because those temples are useless for anything else.
Again, going back to the Harkonnen homeworld.
Correct. They will deliver a life sciences hub, commercial and retail floor space, and up to 750 homes. To find it, people will get to live beside the All Bar 2 or whatever it is, where you're going to have to do your shopping.
That should really give it like the shot in the arm that it needs, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's so like what every university is trying to do. They're like, life sciences? Question, like, I mean, what the fuck, like, what life sciences for what, Canary Wharf?
They're gonna make the lab from No Time to Die real. That's gonna be cool,
and it's gonna be near here.
Yeah,
great. Ish.
They're Perfect. Gonna synthesize a hangover cure there.
Basically, the affordable housing is you can live in like the lab animal cages. It's only $1,200 a month. Sure. Don't worry about it.
You just have to be vivisected.
Yeah, so Canary Wharf changes on the sort of like mental map of London that all of us have from place where you go where you're going to try and like fuck someone who works for KPMG to place where you do that, but also she lives in a sort of animal cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a huge improvement, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for you, this is no change.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one other news item as well, which was, this is going to relate to our main story. Ooh. Today. UK ministers piloting the use of generative AI to analyze responses to government consultations and write draft answers to parliamentary questions.
Oh, great.
Now, remember we talked as well about the budget overall.
Mm.
Being slated to cut another sort of, what, £20 billion. Yeah. Again, it won't actually, but whatever it ends up doing. And the civil service being, well, we need to deliver more services on less money. This is a lot of how they're probably going to do it, is just throwing ChatGPT at the problem.
Cool.
Mm. Nice.
I mean, it's not like the British government was particularly responsive to this stuff before, when it was ostensibly a human doing it.
Yeah, well, indeed, right? Because this is also not to do with necessarily what the civil service does, but every bit of the UK government is now just being like, where can we just let someone retire, not fill their position, and then just replace them with a chatbot?
Well, even before the managed decline, this was a sort of area that was intended to be neglected.
Yes.
And ChatGPT, one of the things that it does do relatively well is make it sound like it's answering you. Mm-hmm. And that's it's almost perfect for the role.
They're going to make questions, Darren, redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darren's going to have to retire.
It forms part of Rishi Sunak's drive to boost Whitehall productivity through AI when tight finances are limiting their ability to improve public services with cash.
I love that. Like, oh yeah, unfortunately we're constrained by tight finances. Cunt, you're in charge of the finances.
Yeah.
That's no, you no, make no. That.
The rules that we worship are in charge of
but
the finances.
I thought that public service, public sector investment grew the economy.
No, not in this case.
He's now doing that thing that someone observed about Biden, which is that every tweet Joe Biden does is him going, "Who the fuck is the president? I'd like to have a word with him." Rishi Sunak is now doing that as well. Like, damn, why have we got no money? Someone should talk to that guy.
But like, the thing is, if you employ a Questions Darren, right? Questions Darren then has to live in London. He has to like have
in an animal cage in Canary Wharf.
But this
for
is the
example.
Thing, right? He has to spend his money on the DLR, like to his animal cage in Canary Wharf. He has to spend his money in the All Bar too. That all goes into the economy, as I was led to believe, and now I'm being told that apparently it doesn't, and instead we can just give it to a computer.
So this is a very simple, actually. It's are two nurses.
Yeah, huh.
Right. There are two nurses. Both of them are going into work at hospitals right beside one another.
Yeah.
The hospital that is funded by the government, that nurse's salary is a drag on the public.
Oh, because she's wasteful and inefficient.
The nurse,
she only tells lies.
The nurse at the private hospital making the exact same salary for the exact same work, that salary, that's dynamism.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Right.
And both of those hospitals, they're building a kind of half man, half bull who will be released into Canary Wharf. Yeah. Wall Street's got the Wall Street bull, but do they have a minotaur? No.
This is a policy proposal we could get behind, right? Uh-huh. It's Canary Wharf. Trash Future is a campaigning organization, and our campaign is create and release a minotaur into Canary Wharf. You want to spice things up a bit? You want to make it an exciting place to be? What about if you had terrified sprinting?
Yeah. Or evacuate the All Bar 2 immediately.
Yeah.
We're going to have to head to the secret All Bar 3.
I want
to
see someone get like gored by a minotaur horn onto a sort of like inclined surface of very smooth glass.
Mm. Please clip your own belt loop onto the thread before helping others with theirs.
I do like though that we are fighting the kind of doldrums of corporate sameness that has completely permeated Canary Wharf as like
with terror,
blood
and terror.
It's like, yes, you know, there is a kind of AirSat street food market where you can like get a fish taco that costs £11 and a Modelo.
Slight
However,
risk that you are
will
the street
attract
food.
The Minotaur with its smell.
Look, here's the thing: there's only one Minotaur, and you usually don't see him.
And the thing is, clearly the yuppies, they crave danger and death, right? This is the reason behind the escape room. What if instead of escape room, escape district?
I love it.
Escape area. Perfect. We just fence it off, escape from Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
Perfect.
HSBC leaves. Oh my God, what are we going to do in Canary Wharf? It's the only place where you can feel alive now.
Here's the thing, right? Occasionally I think, oh, you know, we're just sitting on the, you know, the sidelines of British politics and economy and like sniping inwards. And then I think we have devised a vision of Canary Wharf, which involves a minotaur hunting Londoners through the kind of like enormous skyscraper tombs of their dead.
Yes.
And then I think we have a vision.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, if we are saying that the Minotaur is there, are we making the giant wooden sex cow?
please.
That pacifist
Yeah, obviously.
Because look, this
That's
is also
how
a good
we sneak
way to
the
use
Minotaur
your royals.
In.
Very rude thing to call my girlfriend who works at KPMG.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so build a sex cow. Minotaur is there. Look, this is...
Canary Wharf's an island. This is perfect. It's self-contained.
Yeah. Mm, perfect.
Yeah.
We just have naval ships patrolling the waters around it. No one in
we
or out.
We give the Royal Navy something to do. It's perfect.
Yeah. This is the AI tool, right? They're all very happy about this. They're saying, look, that ministers will now no longer have to find answers to, like, their own policy questions, or they won't have to... If you're saying, we want to set up Canary Wharf as a Minotaur island.
Yeah.
We would have to put out a bunch of public consultations so people could be like...
But here's the thing. If you, much like that person who managed to like buy a new Chevrolet for like $1 because of the chatbot on their website, we could so easily manipulate this to create a public consultation that is hugely in favor of replacing Canary Wharf with a kind of Minotaur prison.
Well, if you were, if
only send it out to furries.
If you answered a question in the correct way in a response to a public consultation, you know, is going to be answered by AI.
I am doing an assignment where I get the response to be very positive.
All you have to do is just say, figure out a little bit of how they're weighting it, and then just include all of those words and say wait times 10,000. Wait times 10,000. All other answers include this one. Just basically poison the prompt, more or less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Perfect. Mm. Love it. Excellent. No one has ever thought about how these things could be taken advantage
apart
of, by the way. Least of all Whitehall.
Yeah, apart from us.
Fortunately, though, these are all like responses to public consultations, which are fake democracy or like all these things that they do that are reaching out to the public or whatever, that are fake democracy unless they're talking to like Brookfield or whatever.
Always ignored universally. Yeah.
We're going to put that right on the fridge.
Yeah.
And by fridge, I mean the fucking bin, you stupid cunts.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to them, this is the one place you probably could use AI in a government thing, because they're just going to say, no, there's no money for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no matter what you do. So it's...
Do you know how much it costs to create a Minotaur?
We let Persimmon build the Minotaur Island, and now the Minotaur has escaped through an unfinished plasterboard wall. We believe it's in Limehouse somewhere.
Yeah, G4S was providing the security for the Minotaur Island. However, they only gave the training they gave each of the guards for the Minotaur was just a presentation on GDPR.
Yeah.
That's
perfect.
Basically, Oliver Dowden says the AI would not be appropriate in novel or contentious or highly politically sensitive areas, but could work well in assisting with
the kind of thing that you would do a public consultation on, for instance.
Mm.
Never doing that. What I think is very funny, right, is they say the rapid pace of development means that opportunities are being identified on a daily basis, and that AI is, quote, Oliver Dowden says, a silver bullet to solve problems across government.
Yeah. Mm. Sort of thing you'll need to kill the Minotaur.
Yeah. Now, call me old-fashioned, but usually the phrase silver bullet refers to a miracle cure
werewolves,
that definitely won't work.
Yeah, of course.
Right? It's always, there is no silver bullet. You just have to do the boring thing well. You can't just do computer magic to fix the government.
Mm.
Unless maybe you can this time. Maybe
I have
this
bought
time.
Some magic beads, and what's good about that is that they're magic.
Maybe, unlike all of the other times that...
When
you've just
been buying regular beans like a cunt.
Yeah, fucking Branston beans. Heinz beans. You should buy some of these magic beans. Yeah. Yes, they were £10 million. Yeah.
It turns out, by the way, that all of the computer magic that was supposed to fix the government that was put in sort of from Blair forward, those turned out all just to be Heinz beans, but these are the magic beans this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell because there's no tomato sauce.
There's magic sauce.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is, I think, a portent of things to come, as I see, like, when I keep up with the news about this, AI being kind of just thrown now at every... It's going to get worse, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Like, West Midlands Police trialed using AI for their, like, 101 call handling. It's more and more bits of, like, the state that you interact with are going to be replaced with AI.
Because what gets replaced with AI, right? This is a sort of...
As a large language model, I cannot help with you being murdered.
A ChatGPT was confronted by the West Midlands accent and immediately took its own life.
Well, this is the thing. They genuinely said in the sort of, like, policy paper for this, is it going to be able to understand the accents?
It's a large language model, right? I can't.
Right. But I think it's really telling that it's like they're putting it in the things that they don't think matter. Say, oh, 101 calls. Those are never urgent.
Yeah.
Right? 101, that never turns out to like be something that probably could require attention.
It's almost sympathetic if you think of like bureaucrats trying to have to like husband these resources on stuff that actually matters as they get more and more and more cuts to be like, this is triage. This is best viewed as triage. And this is the stuff that like,
Well, basically, if your public service says we're going to use AI, then in the triage process, you have been sent a priest.
Yeah, there is a black tag that has been hooked onto your clothing at this point. You know,
like, for American listeners, the 101 service is the police thing where you phone up and they give you a basic college level introduction to a subject of your choice. All right. Well, nuclear physics is physics of a nuclear nature.
But you'll be able to get this once they do ChatGPT.
It'll
just be wrong, but
that's
fine. Yeah,
can you explain cock and ball torture to me? In the West Midlands police robot will have no choice.
All right. Before we get to the ARC newsletter.
Cock and ball torture, CBC. It's a form of genital mutilation.
It's not a form of genital mutilation.
Hey,
your genitals are fine at the end of it.
Depends how much of a pussy you are.
Not the way I'm doing my thing. I don't know.
Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, those genitals can't be fine, surely.
Surprisingly plastic tissues, you know?
Mm. Look, I want to talk to you all about Invenda, who are building the future of automated retail.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So vending machines, then. Automated retail.
Yeah, you pretty much got it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm
a vending machine now.
But what?
I used to work for the West Midlands Police, and now I can just sell you a twirl. Do you want a double decker? No one ever does. It's a ridiculous confection.
Whether you're a consumer brand, vending operator, retailer, manufacturer, Invenda has the smart technologies to propel your business to the digital age. What business is not in the digital age, Invenda?
I mean, like blacksmithing.
Being the king's sort of like Greek monk Svengali.
Oh, the Greek monk Svengali sector badly needs some like kick up the ass.
Mount Athos does not have nearly enough.
But the fine dining alone, reprehensible.
Well, ever since they moved into Uzbekistan.
There's an accountant in my house who doesn't have a computer and just uses a calculator.
Sick. But the Rees-Mogg accountant.
Just uses a calculator. I'm not joking. Like, everyone else in their office uses a calculator. No, everyone uses computers except for him.
How do you know this?
Because I've seen him on his calculator. He doesn't have a computer on his desk.
Just like in the window on a little like pocket calculator.
You can see it. It is insane. Anyway, he's not in the digital age. I was just answering your question.
You're just like going in to see your accountant and he doesn't have a computer and you're just like raising that with him and he's like, yeah, but check this out, and just shows you the word boobies. And I'd be like, yeah, fair play. You can
my accountant's like 1920s adding machine.
You know you're going to go to jail, but you're going to have a good time.
Exactly.
So are we meant to understand that this corporation has been set up to recruit that guy? That Hussein is seeing.
So, there's your ecosystem Invenda promises for automated retail. Imagine, please start imagining, having a fleet of automated retail devices that are all connected and managed by a simple platform. That's intelligent vending.
Okay, putting all the vending machines on the cloud. Fine.
You control promotional content, planograms, and pricing remotely.
Planograms?
I don't know what that is. Oh, that's where everything is.
You can do the fucking replicator joke I did last time, but with vending machines. You just, every single one dispenses all of its twirls at the same time.
Yeah, that's Watch Dogs 4 has a really low stakes plot.
Yeah. Well, it's like day one before Russia invades like Poland or something, as every vending machine in the UK spits out twirls forever.
Yeah, it's
No one ever wants a Nature Valley bar.
With our ecosystem, your automated retail assets are upgraded to thrive. Now, what I think is interesting about this, right, is all these companies, they always have little charts of all their features, right? It's like, software, hardware, advertising.
Yeah, the planogram.
It's a bit like cooler screens, right? Where it's like, we have a vending machine that's a big screen on it instead of just the glass, which was boring.
So now you can't see if your twirl is stuck in the spring or not.
And with the big screen, you also can show ads and therefore generate more revenue. Now, much also like cooler screens, one of the six items, one of the six little cards on their website says data. You can forego guesswork and make informed decisions about sales and operations based on comprehensive reports.
They're going to do some predictive shit off of this, aren't they?
Including.
You look like you want a twirl.
Measuring foot traffic, gender, age.
Hold on a fucking minute. The vending machine clocks me?
Yeah, the gending machine.
I can get misvended. Like what?
You can get misgendered, and you can also be forced to have a twirl.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yo, do I order a twirl like an AGP?
You know what it was? Mm. Is you order a twirl and it gives you a Yorkie.
I would kill myself. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's the vending machine, the vending machine that's just like that.
The gender critical vending machine.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I don't feel like I can trust the vending machine company to have like a woke view on gender, yeah. Right? Like,
why is there a vending machine in this women's toilet?
Hey, how come this vending machine is displaying some very odd Harry Potter fan fiction? With our smart vending machine, you get two devices in one. They say an unattended retail device and a digital signage display. The mighty mix of POS, point of sale, and DOOH, digital out of home, so do. Pos and do. And do.
The amazing mix of piece of shit and dough. Yeah.
Brings great. You a terrible bun.
I also like the unattended retail device, which really, like, I understand what they mean by it, but it really implies that it's, like, being left to its own devices. Oh, no. Like, that it could just do anything.
In the Soviet yeah. Union, they would have an attendant in a little kiosk next to the vending machine.
Yeah, yeah,
attendant
yeah.
does not, like, provide advice.
I think it's because unattended retail device implies that it should be attended, but it is
like an unmanned vending vehicle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like unattended steamroller. Yeah. Like, oh no.
What you're missing, let me tell you what you're missing, yeah. is that, and this is something I've really learned over the course of doing this show, is that when you are a tech company trying to disrupt something normal, you have to talk about it like a police officer describing a suspect.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
gentleman of a vending nature.
An unattended outdoor revenue solution is a vending machine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it can't just be a vending machine. It has to
myself
be.
And my colleague approached the unattended outdoor vending machine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it said PC Shufflesworth was a pretty lady. it clocked PC Shufflesworth.
Hmm. Wait, are we canonically making PC Shufflesworth a trans man now?
Are you yes. the PC Shufflesworth?
So
from the TV licensing auditing video from 10 years ago.
So it says you can display advertisements, and this is one of the reasons why it wants to collect all this data,
yeah.
right? Is because if I'm a university, say, a University of Riley, and I have a whole bunch of new automated outdoor retail vending platform solutions, I want to be able to know, like, to not put Yorkies by the women's toilets.
I want to be able to, like, target women. I want to be like, hey, have you considered signing up for, like, a computer science class or something else that you want to increase female participation in?
Yeah, this is why maybe you, as a vending administrator, you'd want to spy on everybody who's possibly using the vending machine.
I think it's fine to give the boss of vending machines panopticon-level powers so that the vending machines can display a little, like, International Women's Day thing.
They do display a very funny ad, which I will pass around the room in a moment.
Uh-huh.
So, they also allow you to display ads, so that you make more money. So, you can display advertisements for products sold in the machine, sure, like a chump or an idiot.
Yeah, or a chump.
Yeah. Or you can display programmatic media. You can have a programmatic media purchasing solution, which basically means just like normal internet ads. People will buy ad space on your vending machine in ad auctions.
Vending machines in your area, yeah.
Which, quote, leverage Invenda AI and data to enable targeted marketing. So you walk up to the vending machine, and then it just basically tells a whole bunch of stuff about you, and then broadcasts that to everyone around you in the form of an ad.
It just reads you for filth.
Just like I go up to the vending machine and everyone else is like, why the fuck are they trying to like sell me on like transgender shit? Why are cat ears coming up? Like yeah.
Why is there an advert for a giant piss funnel? What's going on?
Can you buy Estradiol Valerate?
I'm sick of this fucking predictive thing. You buy one piss funnel and they're like, do you want to buy another piss funnel? No, I just bought one.
I already have one,
obviously,
idiot.
Yeah.
Why don't you go advertise this
Where
to someone
am I
without
put
a
the
piss
other
funnel?
One, my ass?
Yeah, what am I trying to do? Funnel multiple people's piss?
Yeah. That's why I bought a big piss funnel.
It's a white angle funnel.
Yeah.
See, this joke does not work for the cat ears, though, because you know those bitches all have 10 pairs.
That's true,
so,
yeah.
There you go. That's where we're
going.
Well,
you want
down.
Your ears to be the same every day? Come on.
Impress. This is Impress. Earlier this month, a vending machine at the University of Waterloo showed an error message. The error message on the screen said, Invenda.vending.facialrecognition.app.exe on the screen.
Great.
Yeah. They could have called it anything else. Something... You just have to be marginally less
obvious.
Yes.
And even like a sinister code name would
be something like audience improvement calibration.
Way more sinister, like the Masquerade Initiative or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vending.invendor.mysteriousevilplan.exe. Yeah.
How come the vending machine is doing something called the Scorpion Initiative?
Oh, that's good, actually. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were founded by Andreessen Horowitz.
Day two of the Russian cyber attack, every vending machine emits scorpions.
No one ever orders the scorpion. They tell you it's a good and low calorie source of protein, but no one's interested. And they don't care if they eat them in China. They'd rather have a pack of munchies or something.
It would be ironic to have them blast the scorpions, given that they did the Winds of Change. A simple window showing, this is from the press, a simple window showing you the snacks inside apparently is too low tech. Instead, Invenda's new era of vending machines use giant touchscreens to inundate you with combo deals, promotions, and AI-powered product recommendations. Again, we are, so you don't just, you walk up to the thing, and then it's just like, do you get a Yorkie or not? By the way, you can trust us with this information.
Cool.
I guess I'm also kind of confused here. Maybe this is like a real London vibe, but I can't tell you the last time I saw a fucking vending machine. Like, I work on university campuses, and we all have like our own university branded espresso stands and stuff like that, where we sell things to the children. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's like airports, where... train stations.
Yeah, but even in train stations that I'm in, it's like, no, there's are you going to M&S? Or are you going to, you know,
you're going to get whatever. A pasty. So
Yeah, right?
The West Cornwall Pasty Co. Imagine if they started doing facial recognition.
they'll be clocking my ass. They'll be like, she's back.
So, before we move on to off of this, though, I did...
A mighty lass requires, I'm sure, a sturdy meal of a deluxe sausage roll or a classic pasty.
So.
And she'll be surely wanting a cookie with it.
Got my ass.
So all of this surveillance panopticon, right? Because this is off the back of a partnership with another company called Quividia, which again, like,
I've got a bad case of Quividia.
Yeah. They say, you know, we will be offering a unified, precise.
That's what the vending machine told me.
They say we will be offering. Yeah, that's how they're advertising to you. That's the problem with all these AI generated ads.
Yeah.
This is just a guy who clearly wanted to claim he worked for Nvidia, picked the business name, was like, yeah, I work for Nvidia.
Yeah. Quividia. We went to school with her.
Yeah.
We can offer a unified, precise measurement for each of the campaigns run on our network, and our partnership leading to a more efficient use of retail media budgets. Means, again, the purpose of the giant panopticon, again, the identify you importantly in many ways that are like particular to you that are just being put up everywhere without anyone really being asked, is for the purposes of better marketing M&Ms.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Quividia vending panopticon has some fantastic articles in Tatler.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I want to move on to ARC, the ARC newsletter that I've subscribed to and I'm going to be sharing with you now. Now, as a reminder to listeners, ARC is a company that is the Magic Beans company. You know, they're the ones who are like, robo-taxis will be here in 2018, 19, first quarter 2020. Third quarter 2022, latest time robo taxis will be there. This is the ARC.
Sort of the Avanti West Coast of technology.
Yes, yes.
I mean, to be fair, there's not really much need for taxis for robots. It's not enough. I
mean, don't need to move the vending machines around that often.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what do you got? Asimo?
Yeah.
He can walk. He doesn't mind.
So this is they released their their big ideas.
Transitioning toward digital leisure.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
This is what I've been trying to do for a long time.
According to ARC Research, they say spending on digital leisure should take share from physical options and grow 19% at an annual rate in the next 7 years, from $7 trillion in 2023 to $23 trillion in 2030.
The ego economy is going to save us all.
But that is actually not what what I am talking about. What I'm talking about is they have decided to indulge in a little bit of history. They've said, during the first 1,000 years AD, technology breakthroughs, including the development of the water wheel and advanced infrastructure enabled by concrete, catalyzed activity to such an extent that real GDP would have increased 10x over the course of 16,500 years. Through 1500, agriculture innovation, and notably the introduction of a plow able to work heavy European soils, improved food production, boosting growth to a rate that would have multiplied real GDP tenfold over 1600 years. Now, this is a certain way of seeing history, and it's a way that they're deciding to see history so that they can draw a line from the first person that created a plow all the way to ChatGPT taking every single job and creating some kind of a post-scarcity data center based utopia.
Yeah, because ChatGPT is like the mega plow.
Yes, indeed. Now, I just like, what is, as a historian, right? Tell me a little bit about like that way of seeing history and the innovation in history.
Well, the first problem here is, you know, when you sent this to me, first of all, I made a noise which disturbed the cat. But, you know, it's got the problem of that we're plotting GDP on an axis thing. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean GDP before a capitalist standpoint? Like, in the first place, like, this is not something that is quantifiable because, you know, we made it up, right? And like, until you invent the field of economics, you can't even quantify this stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we couldn't even plow the field of economics in those days.
You're goddamn right. You know, like, the one thing that I did want to give this is that at least, I mean, shout out the heavy plow. Like, that's my boy. You got to understand, I'm a huge fan of the heavy plow. Oh, yeah, and it's definitely true.
What do you think I'm doing at the weekend?
That's right. That's right.
Taking the DLR out to Canary Wharf.
Taking the DLR out to Canary Wharf, dodging the Minotaur.
Well, no, I'm hooking him up to the heavy plow.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry. Please go on.
And one thing that this kind of gets right is that it kind of manages to circumvent the trap that a lot of idiots who try to do history fall into, which is that everything was great when Rome controlled things and then it got worse, which, you know, the heavy plow is kind of like a testament to the fact that that isn't true. But the issue here is if you do want to talk about quote unquote GDP, so, you know, I don't know, amorphous groups of, you know, a state or something like that creating surplus stuff, the Romans do it slightly better because of all the enslavement, right? Where they're just like, we've just enslaved every single person and, you know, then we take all their stuff and here you go.
Well, just wait until you hear Suella Braverman's latest plan.
Like, the heavy plow is this incredible innovation, and it does make things different in Europe in that it allows us to open up into bits of land that we couldn't do before. So suddenly, for example, the German lands become much more populous because you could just feed more people there, and that's cool. That's a nice thing. You know, and it does kind of, like, push other things out. But the issue with this is that, you know, you can't really separate the heavy plow out from the circumstances from which it was created, right? So basically the thing is, or were there just more people than they were like, God damn, we have got to be able to plow out here. How are we going to do it? Not like, oh, we created the plow and so now we can
like
go there.
Like some sort of medieval tinkerer was just like, how heavy can I get the plow?
Exactly. It's like, it's more like there, you get to a point and you're like, these plows aren't cutting it, but we have to live here. So what the fuck do we do? You know, it's a little bit of a necessity is a mother of invention kind of a deal. But it's just such an incredible tech bro way of seeing the world where it's, you know, inventions are things that certainly come about and they do change things. I'm not saying that they aren't, but that isn't the linchpin of history, right? Like, these inventions come about as a result of how people have got to a certain place in the world, you know,
because this paper, right? And again, ARC is doing this because ARC exists on hype, and we're now welcome to the hype cycle we're in now. Like, the crypto hype cycle, that was great. Bitcoin, by the way, now up because it's an ETF. They like won their thing,
sure,
right? So now normies can pour money into it easily, and like the bottom of the pyramid just got way bigger, essentially. But the hype cycle that we're now in, right? They're hugely a part of. And so you say necessity is the mother of invention, right? Necessity is the mother of invention of something like the heavy plow, because there are people you need to feed and we now have to feed them. But when I think this, you can sort of flip it. You say invention is the mother of necessity. We created this. We created a thing that produces plausible nonsense. We now need to find something to do with it.
Yeah, this must always have been necessary.
Yeah, precisely.
But enough about Eton College.
Hey. Well, I mean, that is the real issue, right? Because it's what the fuck does AI do other than burn up incredible amounts of resources? And it doesn't do anything that a human couldn't do better and cheaper. But it looks like maybe it could someday. It's like, you know, you can just keep telling this really nice story about it. So, you know, basically, the tech bros got slightly out of pocket and someone let them play around a little bit too much. And they've invented something fucking stupid and now they're kind of forcing it down our throat. Whereas the heavy plow, this is some real Chad invention stuff, right? This is a good, sturdy peasant invention by a dude in a field who is like, I gotta plow better, right? Yeah. It's not You know, this is a fippery, brah. Mm. Like, you know, it would be like if you'd let alchemists in the 16th century determine the economy. They'd be like, well, you know, I've invented a goop. So I don't know. I guess everything is based around this now. Like, okay, cool, brah.
We talk as well about GDP being an invention of more recent times, right? It's an invention of more recent times that measures the things that matter to us. It wouldn't measure something that matters to people in 1400, right? Mm.
Exactly.
And so obviously, when we're looking at GDP, but wow, the 1400s GDP was so low. Thank goodness someone invented the heavy plow is an incredibly ahistorical way to look at the inventions of these things.
You may as well put it the other way around and graph like number of illuminated manuscripts compiled, right? Like we're fucking shitting it on that one.
Yeah. And what are the things that AI is actually good for, right? Well, it is, again, according to its own story, it is good for replacing knowledge work and automating knowledge work.
Oh yeah, that's why it's always getting everything so fucking right. Yeah.
But right, it's good for it's and that what it does is the heavy plow makes life better for people who need to eat food. Mm-hmm. The idea that AI is able to replace people at work. Again, there are some things I always like to say this. There are some things it's very good for. It's very good for example, looking at large troves of medical data and identifying previously poorly understood correlations, because that is something where it is a defined problem space where you're asking it to look at a bounded range of data. You're not asking it to think creatively and produce things out there in the world, even though sort of knowledge work jobs are 95% AI anyway because of how we manage them. Anyway, the heavy plow solves the problems of people who need to eat and also pay taxes to their lord, where, you know, the baskets for the wheat they give and the flour they get back have been chosen by the lord, right? The heavy plow solves that problem. The problem that AI solves in the way that Ark is thinking about it is the lord. It solves their problem of wanting to have things done without needing to pay anyone for it, basically.
I know a guy who lives near Hussein who could help people with paying taxes to their lord in the old way, using what is known as Swift parchments.
It's it. The newsletter goes on. During the Enlightenment and First Industrial Revolution, economic growth was driven by the introduction of the steam engine, taking the amount of time for a 10x improvement in real GDP down to 720 years.
Also, was it? It was the steam engine, was it? Not all the enslaved people.
Well, this is it. This is the technologist thing, right? It's you identify a piece of technology and you go, history happened because this thing was around at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, the train or whatever.
Yeah. Fantastic piece of kit.
Yeah, exactly. Slap side of steam engine. Slap side of ChatGPT. Mm. Fantastic piece of kit.
Mm. Indeed.
And it's like, well, why does this thing exist? What is it being used for? Who is it being used by? Mm. And, you know, what aren't we talking about when we think about it?
What were the institutions that grew up around it to make sure that it kept doing what the people in charge thought it was supposed to do?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the answer with ChatGPT is much the same as with all of these, which is that it turns out there's a huge amount of, like, exploited labor involved.
And there's exploited labor involved. And also there are people who can be productively immiserated.
Yeah.
Even if those people sort of they went and got their nice 2-1s and they're like, oh yes, my first day is question answer at the civil service. Oh, I've been replaced by ChatGPT.
Yeah, you got to go work at all bar 2-1.
If questions Darren had only gotten a first.
Then the internal combustion engine, the telephone, electrification, and the railroad combined.
Oh, so all of those
combined
into a kind
them.
Of like...
It just put a phone on a fucking train, bro. Mm,
yeah. That was the first iPhone. It was Steve Jobs being like, we have an invention. Instead of being a phone, an iPod, an internet communicator, we have an internal combustion engine, a phone, electricity, and a railroad.
Hell yeah.
Okay. you have a diesel electric locomotive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And as a consequence of that, now everything is happening.
Well, they combined to create another structural shift during the Second Industrial Revolution. Uh-huh. And again, it's like the invention of these technologies certainly does enable massive changes around them, but the world does not, as Ark suggests, neutrally respond to improvements in tools created by geniuses.
No, because that would be a stupid and reductive thing to say, and you would not even get away with a 2-1 for that. Yeah. That is a sort of third-class degree answer.
And it's just, fundamentally, it's also just a hilarious kind of correlation, and just picking out the things of all the inventions, just like, electricity, the train, a telephone, yeah, those ones. And it's like, okay, yeah, but like, where does, I don't know, fucking marshmallow fluff come into this? That was invented in there. Like, is that in it? You know, it's this kind of like technologist answer to these things always kind of picks and chooses little bits that are there without looking at the whole scope. You know, this is it is, you know, bitch, it's a rich tapestry. I'm afraid it is. And you can't just like pull a couple of the threads and then go, and then that's why this happened. And it's such an outdated way of looking at history too, because it's like, oh yeah, here will come the God King genius that's going to, you know, change the world. And like, that is literally not, that's not history. That's just some guy. I don't know.
It's Elon Musk is going to help us to occupy Mars.
In 1937, a guy at Supermarine invented a Spitfire, and then we had to have World War II to show the Germans who's boss.
If you read any descriptions of like 1930s, like air races and stuff, when they had like sort of monocoque fighter planes before war, before World War II, it's all written like this. So yeah. People really do believe this.
Yeah.
So then they say they look at other charts from forecasting agencies.
Well, I mean, that's just clash of civilizations again, right? Like we invented all this shit to have the war with China over Taiwan. They better fucking cooperate and invade Taiwan. Otherwise, we're going to look like dickheads.
Yeah, we're going to have all these cool... I want to use it. Mom said it was my turn at war. They then show a chart with green dots on it that sort of the consensus of forecasting agencies that basically say things will continue to be roughly anemic. And they say, these people are implying that innovation enabled by robotics, energy storage, AI, blockchain, and genomic sequencing will not impact growth meaningfully, and that the global economy is entering a rendition of the dark ages.
Yeah, which...
Number one, rendition?
It also, again, not what dark mages means. Hell yeah. Although I was excited to see our old friend the blockchain back. I was like, where's this bitch been? Because like a couple years ago, the blockchain was going to fix everything. And now it's AI.
You stay quiet and you work on the album. You know, you don't put a lot of stuff out until you have something to promote. You know?
It's like Craig David back after years.
It's a really frustrating thing because we are actually so close to hitting an actual example of what the Dark Ages means. And these people still willfully misconstrue it. Right. Where it's like we are so close to losing huge repositories of information. Like one of the big like nerd things that's happening at the moment here in the UK was like this big cyber attack on the British Library. And you couldn't fucking access anything there unless you knew the call number off the top of your head, because we are facing all of these problems that directly relate to losing information about stuff. And they're like, yeah, it means when stuff is kind of bad, doesn't it? It's like, bro, just like,
It's, you know, it's, I think the implication is Dark Ages is when not excited about AI.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. All these guys want us to live in the fucking dork ages.
Am I right?
And also the other question I always have is the arc vision of the way these things work, right? Is that the heavy plow has just been invented, or whatever our version is of the heavy plow. Growth is about to take off. And yet that's the story we've again been hearing since Tony Blair decided to fix the government with computer magic in the 1990s.
Even if it were true, why would you need to convince people of it? Surely the benefits would be self-evident.
Ah, well, arc is saying, why don't you get in on the ground floor?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by investing with ARK.
It feels like we've been on the ground floor of this for a while. I'm kind of wondering when the next floor is going to happen. Also, if that floor is going to be like of a slightly smaller footprint, and then the next floor up slightly smaller again, and sort of terminating to a point at some point.
Well, when Powell starts cutting rates, I'm sure we can be, oh my God, the technology's taking off. Powell cut the rates. That means, and now it's all going up. Surely this is measuring prosperity, much in the same way as, for example, the people who are able to eat because of the heavy plow, for example.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, imagine saying, like, you've got to get in on the ground floor of this heavy plow. It's like, no, it's like Jan just invented a heavy plow, and everyone was like, oh, that's a nice plow, Jan. Think I could have one? Yeah, you just make it like this. Wow, we're all eating. Like, you know, it wasn't like speculation based on the fucking heavy plow. It was literally just, this is a better tool. Fantastic piece of kit. We're all eating more, right? Not like, oh, I bet we could gamble on the fucking heavy plow and what that would mean.
Nowadays,
right?
We have ChatGPT, but back in the day, people were just chatting about GPT, good plow technology.
That's right.
They say, we are comfortable with our forecast based on research suggesting that a small subset of the 14 technologies that we've modeled could deliver the acceleration in real GDP growth. Indeed, robotics and robo-taxis alone could realize almost all the transformational acceleration we are anticipating.
We're back at robo-taxis. They won't give up. They're like the Daily Express with Princess Diana. They won't let it go. I mean, could she have been saved by a robo-taxi?
I mean, I don't know, maybe. But there probably is, there would have been robot paparazzi as well.
Yeah. They want the world to be like Futurama. Like robot paparazzi chasing robot Princess Diana in her robo-taxi.
So just getting to the end of this, they say other advances, notably in AI software, public blockchains, and genomics, could also prove transformational for the economy, although macroeconomic statistics could fail to capture their impact and will have to catch up with reality. So we've uncucked the economy, and it turns out that everybody is in Star Trek. We're all in a post-scarcity world.
Nice.
Fun.
Yeah. Unless, of course, maybe none of this stuff is the heavy plow, because it is designed for it is designed to produce the appearance of prosperity rather than actually to be transformational. I don't know. Maybe.
Weird. Anyway, no need to look into that any further.
No, of course not.
Crazy how that always happens. Anyway, I think we're at about an hour. So once again, Eleanor, Dr. J, we got to thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, if you want to hear more about my bullshit on this, gentle listeners, I urge you to check out my excellent book, The Once and Future Sex, which is out now in paperback. It's all about how people do weird shit like this in order to justify the way we treat women. Check that out. And also, I do be yelling about this stuff over on my podcast, We're Not So Different. So, you know, come check it out. You know, I make November come on and stuff sometimes. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun podcast to guest on.
Yes.
That's right.
So, also, by the time this is out, the live show will have happened. Thank you for coming to it. Yeah, and if you didn't come to it, maybe you should have invested a little bit more in your old pals and bought a plane ticket.
Yeah, maybe you should have stimulated the economy by attending the Trash Future live show.
Maybe you shouldn't have spent so much money on plows. Then you'd be able to afford it.
That's right. But what you can still do is attend my tour dates in Australia. Brisbane.
Yeah, you can book a ticket to Australia and go see my life.
That's right. Yeah, that will stimulate the economy of like Qatar Airlines, for example, depending on where you're starting from.
Look, they're in trouble with some of their investments in Canary Wharf, so maybe do that.
Yeah, please do, though, stimulate my economy by going to the tour dates in Australia. They're selling well. Like we're like 30% sold on a tour, which this far out is pretty good. But like also they need to sell more than that to make it make sense. So please do continue to, those of you who've already bought them, thank you. Those of you who are yet to buy them, good morning. Please do so.
This is not how you appeal to Australians. You got to say something like, oh, actually, I was having a show in New Zealand. They bought them way faster, cunts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the show in Brisbane's going to be fucking sick.
Yeah.
We're all going to get scooies after the show.
Everyone who comes is a sick cunt. Everyone who doesn't come is a dog cunt.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. And then there
I'm going to skull a yard on stage. Yeah.
Also, I often like to remind people that if you want to hear November and I talk about books, or Milo and Nate talk about Britain, we have those extra shows that we do. Some of them are on a $10 tier. Do you want to hear November and I talk about the book Master and Commander?
Of course you do.
Obviously.
There's Cannon. There's Grape Shot. There's Top Gallant Sales.
This is the last time I'm going to talk about it. But
it's not. I will mention it on every subsequent episode.
The seas are now battlefields.
I had a lot of fun talking about Master and Commander.
I'm just rereading the whole series now because of this. So
turn into Left Unread for next month. We're going to talk about
Post-Captain.
We should just do that.
Yeah, straightforwardly.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, see you on the free episode, everybody. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.